To go to Galatians. We're not going to do it tonight, but we're going to go to Galatians next and study that wonderful epistle to the Galatians. But tonight I want to do something out of John chapter 15 here. And I want to look at the first 14 verses. I want you to follow along with me. John chapter 15, tremendous, tremendous chapter. And 14, 15, 16. Kind of all deal with Jesus going away and he's going to send the Holy Spirit and those kind of things. 15 is the chapter about the vine. And he begins by saying there, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Now put that in your computer. He's the vine and he belongs to his Father. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it. And it may bring forth more fruit. We talked about this morning, bearing fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Look at that next phrase. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I don't think I'd like to think about that, being cast into fire and burned. I settled that issue a long time ago. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. You want to glorify God? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. That's hard to comprehend. He says, as much as the Father loves me, I love you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Are you his friend? Lord, bless this time we're going to spend in this passage here and in the truth that we want to kind of mine out like a prospector, a nugget of truth we want to look at tonight. Touch our hearts. Speak to us about it. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. And then he says, and that your joy might be full. I want to talk tonight about the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. One of the greatest benefits of being saved is the God-given ability to experience true joy. I say happiness. I said joy. In his unsaved condition, man is able to experience many levels of happiness. When man's position is positive, when he prospers abundantly, when things are going his way, the unsaved person can be very happy. However, when the bottom falls out, his world caves in, his happiness disappears. The Christian, on the other hand, is able to experience something more than just happiness. The saved person is able to experience biblical, spiritual joy. You say, what's the difference? Well, the main difference between joy and happiness is that happiness is based upon circumstances. Our degree of happiness varies in direct proportion to our circumstances. But spiritual joy, on the other hand, is constant and consistent. The river of joy runs beneath the surface of circumstances and is not affected by them. I might lose my happiness, but I don't lose my joy. The saved person can maintain his joy when his world is crumbling around him. Only because our joy is based on what we know to be true, and the truth never changes. The truth is our sins are forgiven. God is real in our lives. God is working His plan out in our lives. Heaven is our home, and God is looking after us. That lets us maintain our joy. Sadly, it seems like many Christians fail to display their joy. I'm a Christian. Don't you want to be? Many Christians let their circumstances rob them of their joy. Many Christians go through their life moaning and groaning and complaining when we ought to be demonstrating the joy of the Lord in our lives. See, if you look at that verse in John chapter 15, you'll understand God wants His people to have real joy. Jesus said He wants our joy to be full. We need to have the joy of the Lord. And I just want to share with you some ways tonight we can have the joy of the Lord. Number one, we can have the joy of the Lord by partaking in the Word of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 15, Jeremiah says something very interesting. If you've read through the Bible, you've read this verse, and I'm sure it kind of hit you. When Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15, 16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." You think he enjoyed reading the Word of God? Well, it sounded to me like he did. You think when he came away from reading, he came away with a joy in his heart over what he had read? I think he did. See, God's Word is a source of joy to those who belong to Him. Go over to Psalms and Psalm 115 or 19 in particular. Look at the first two verses of that wonderful Psalm. The whole Psalm dealing with the Word of God in one way or another. Two verses begin this psalm, and the psalmist says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." He's talking about the Scripture. He's talking about God's Word. "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart." That word "blessed" there has to do with having joy, being blessed. God's Word is a source of joy to those who really love Him. In the same chapter there in verse 24, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." You read this word, if you're a generally born again Christian and you're reading the Word of God, it ought to bring joy to your heart. "Well, preacher, sometimes I read and it convicts me." Wonderful, you ought to have joy about that. Because God's speaking to you. There's joy in His gracious provision for us, the salvation that He's given us, and we read about it in the Bible. How can you read verses like Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for Him, for us," and not have joy? How can you read the verse that says, "But God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Christ in Him," and not have joy? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," and not have joy. And over we could go in different verses and just think about the joy they bring to our heart. And there's a joy in reading God's Word when He does convict you, when He does speak to you, and you realize, here is my Father, my Heavenly Father, speaking to me. Little, old, insignificant me. That ought to bring joy to your heart. When we think the God of the whole universe, 7 billion people on this earth, nearly 7 billion on this earth. I don't know how many of them are His. But out of all those people and those who are His, He's speaking to me. We read the good word of God, it ought to bring joy. There's joy in knowing Him better through His word. You learn more about Him as you read His word. We learn more about His love and His grace and His mercy and His truth and all. This is where we get it. Failure to be in God's word robs us of our joy. Let me say that again. Failure to be in God's word robs us of our joy. Why is that? Because when we fail to get in the word of God and get the truth and get hear from Him, it causes us to focus on our situations rather than on Him. Just like when Peter walked on water, as long as he had his eyes on the Lord, everything was okay. When he started looking at his circumstances and situation, he started to sink. That's how we are when we don't get the Word of God and get a glimpse of God. We start looking at the circumstances around us and we lose our joy. When we don't get the Word of God, we begin to get discouraged and worry. You worry? Don't look at me that way. How many of you will admit, once in a while, preacher, I worry? Yeah, don't we all? Remember I told you about that great preacher who said, I worry. He said, I designate 15 minutes every morning to worrying. I worry for 15 minutes and then I'm done. I don't worry anymore till the next day. I wish I could do that. But see, when we get in the Word of God and we find His promises, it strengthens us and we realize, I don't have to worry. He's got everything under control. I was talking to somebody this morning about the situation there in politics in Washington and the junk that's going on. How we see what's going on around us is anti-God and anti-Christian and out over in the Mideast, what's going on there, anti-Israel. And if we weren't in the Word of God, I don't know about you, it'd make me worry. But see, when I get in the Word of God and I realize, hey, He's got everything under control. He didn't get off the throne last night. He knew all about this before it ever happened. And by the way, He's got a plan. We talked about it in Sunday school. And His plan is going to, it's being carried out. And when it's all done, we win. When we get away from God's Word, we also get away from Him. You know how I know that? I've been saved since 1974. I've been a preacher since 1987. Full-time pastor. In all those years, I have never met a Christian who refused to spend time reading God's Word who was close to God. I'm going to say that again. In all those years, I've met a lot of Christians. But in all those years, I never met a Christian who refused to spend time in the Word of God who was close to God. Now, I didn't say they weren't saved. But as far as having a walk with the Lord and you could get around them and sense that they did walk with the Lord, they were Spirit-filled. Not if they're not in the Word. Now, on the other side of that coin, I've never met a backslidden Christian who was faithfully spending in the time of the Word of God either, but I've never met a person who was spending time in the Word of God who didn't have the joy of the Lord. It's important that we spend time. When you get away from God, boy, you lose your joy. And I could give you examples of people. Some of them you would know. Who got away from God, they've lost the joy of the Lord. I had one man come to my house weeping. Got to talk to you. He got away from the Lord. You know what he told me? He's out in the world doing all the things the world does. There was a time when he walked with God. You know what he said to me? He said, I can't enjoy anything anymore. He said, there's no satisfaction, no peace, no joy in anything anymore. He got away from the Word of God, consequently got away from God. He lost his joy. Number two, we can have the joy of the Lord, number one, by partaking of the Word of God, and number two, by practicing, by producing, I'm sorry. No, that's not right. There. Practicing the privilege of prayer. Got ahead of myself. Just over the page from chapter 15 and chapter 16, verse 24. Something else Jesus said. Very, very interesting now. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. There it is again. He wants our joy to be full. That's his desire for us. And practicing prayer brings joy. You know, God delights in our prayers. He wants us to pray. Have you figured out yet that that's why God doesn't just dump everything on us that we want and need and all? Jesus said in Matthew 7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Luke 18:1, and he gave this parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Philippians, Paul talks about we're not to worry, but we're to pray. God delights in our prayers. He even tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Boy, I like that. Come boldly. Don't come timidly. Don't come afraid. Come boldly. I'm your Father. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God wants us to come to Him with our wants and our needs and our problems and our burdens, just like a child would come to his father. Now, there's great joy when we pray, come before Him and spend time with Him. Boy, I'll tell you, if you want to experience some joy, pray and have God answer your prayer. I'm always amazed, and I'm just as guilty. We pray, and we pray by faith, but when God answers, we're always surprised. Aren't we? We're shocked. And yet, really, we shouldn't be. I think I mentioned to you that some of you know I got to shoot a big deer this year, the biggest I ever shot in my life. Never even shot at anything like that in my whole life. I started hunting when I was 14 years old. I've been able to shoot some deer, you know, some bucks and things. But nothing like this. But on Monday of buck season, as I was out in the woods, I brought this to the Lord. I said, now, Lord, I know it seems like a trivial thing, but you told me to come and ask. You said you wanted to give me the desires of my heart. Lord, I'm 64. I know I don't look it. But Lord, I'm 64. I've been hunting all these years, and I have never been able to shoot a big buck. And I said, Lord, won't you let me do that this year? And I left it there. Now, I've prayed that other years, and God didn't answer my prayer. This year He did. And boy, when He did, I was blown away. And the way He did it was very obvious. He did it. And yet here I am blown away. He answered my prayer. You think I had joy? Well, sure. Was it the joy over this big buck? No, that was happiness. My joy was in that my Father heard me. And even such a trivial matter, He answered. Have you ever had that experience? You pray for something in the morning, by the time you go to bed, God's answer? Many times I'll hear from, preacher, you're not going to believe what God did. He answered my prayer. No kidding. What a concept that God would answer prayer. See, there's joy in seeing God answer His prayers. It reaffirms in us that we have the ability to go hold Him. And it strengthens our faith. It reminds us He does hear. And He's going to respond. Sometimes, you know, His answer is no. Between you and me, I have seen times I've rejoiced when God said no. Yeah. I've prayed about maybe wanting to do something or whatever, and God has made it very clear, no. And I thank Him. Weren't you disappointed? Well, I might have been disappointed, but I was thankful that He was guiding me and He directed me. That brought joy to my heart. When God answers our prayers, it reaffirms in us that He cares about us. It's sad to see Christians struggle because they fail to pray. James says, ye have not because ye ask not. Have you experienced the joy of the Lord having your prayers answered? We need to have the joy of the Lord by partaking of the Word of God, by practicing the privilege of prayer. Number three, by producing spiritual fruit. John 15, Jesus goes over this thing about spiritual fruit again. In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. You notice that joy is a part of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit? And that fruit is produced in us by the Holy Spirit as we yield ourselves to His leadership. And so, the more we walk in the Spirit, the more fruit we're going to display. On the other side, those who refuse to let the Holy Spirit control their lives are not going to have true joy. It's a spiritual fruit. True joy comes as a result of our obedience and fellowship with God. Those who follow their flesh may obtain a temporary happiness based on their circumstances, but not true joy. I said the true joy of the Lord isn't based on our circumstances. It's based on our relationship with Him. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of that. Fourthly, we have the joy of the Lord by participating in personal soul winning. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Paul is saying to these Thessalonians, what is our joy? You are. The fact that you're saved, that when Jesus comes, you're going to go to be with Him. That's our joy. There is joy in soul winning. Sharing the gospel brings joy to our soul. We're commanded to do so. And obedience does bring joy. But what a joy it is to see people and know people that we've personally been able to witness to and bring to Christ. Andrew, when Jesus called him, went and got his brother and he brought him to Christ. Do you think he had joy? What greater joy can we experience than being able to share the gospel with somebody and see them accept Christ and know that now they have new life? We sang about the new life tonight, didn't we? Things are different now. Something happened to me. And what a joy it is to know that God used us and we had a part in it. It's a shame that so many Christians will never experience that joy of soul winning. There's people in this room who have never experienced the joy of soul winning. I have a message I could have preached tonight, seven reasons why we're not soul winning. I could go down the list on excuses, if you will. But the thing is, you're missing out on the joy. Don't raise your hand, but think about this. Have you ever had the opportunity to lead somebody to Christ? How did you feel afterwards? Man, I mean, you're walking about this high off the ground. There's a joy. It's the joy of knowing God has used me and God's working through me and now somebody's going to heaven who was on their way to hell. Joy. Many refuse to obey God in this command. And sadly, there are many who have lives too dirty and corrupt to be effective in soul winning. You can't tell others about Christ because of the way you live. They won't listen to what you say because they see how you live. We don't need to just only talk the talk. We need to walk the walk. Many have allowed the cares of this world to keep them from soul winning. And they've never experienced the joy. What a joy. Let me say this. Even when you go soul winning, and maybe you didn't get to win anybody to Christ, but in your heart there's a joy knowing I've been obedient to the Lord. I did what He told me to do. The results are up to Him. We can have the joy of the Lord by protecting my fellowship with God. John writes in 1 John 1 and verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. What's he writing? John talks about the love of the world and the love of the brethren and those kind of things. See, here's what I've seen over the years. Sin will rob a Christian of their fellowship with God. When you have sin in your life, your fellowship's broken. Your relationship is still there as far as you're still his child. But there's no fellowship. And no fellowship means no joy. Don't raise your hand. Married partners in here, have you ever had a fuss with your mate? Was it a joyous time? The old silent treatment? There was no joy in your house when that was going on. There was no joy in your heart. Why? Because the fellowship was broken. Something was wrong. And then you got it straightened out. And the joy came back. Because now the fellowship's back. You know, that's how it is spiritually with God. We have sin in our life. We lose our joy because we're not fellowshipping with Him like we ought to. Have you ever read the 51st Psalm? Go over there just a minute. Boy, I think David just brings this so much to light. Beginning in verse 7. We know this is when David is confessing his sin with Bathsheba, getting right with God. Repenting. He says in verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. He says, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He had lost that joy of salvation because he had sinned between him and God. He wants it back. Being out of fellowship with God robs us of that. But I like when I read that psalm, I realize this confession brings us back into fellowship and restores that joy. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we have that problem of our broken fellowship with God, we can get it fixed. All we got to do is repent and come back to Him and confess. And I've said many times, confessing is not just telling Him what you did. He already knows what you did. I was brought up in another religion where they told me I had to go to confession. I thought many times about making a list, taking it with me, so I didn't forget anything. But then I figured that would take too long to write the list. And too much paper. My dad told me one time, when you go to confession, you have to take a lunch. Oh my. But all I was going to do was go tell the man what I did. God already knows. That confession He's talking about is what we read about in Psalm 51. Repentance. Wanting forgiveness. Turning from your sin. Agreeing with God about your sin. And if we'll do that, He'll forgive us. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we have that joy of fellowship once again. Finally, we can have the joy of the Lord by pondering what Christ has done for you. You ever think about it? I try to remind you often about it. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. What's he mean, rejoice in the Lord? Stop and think about what He's done for you. And rejoice, have joy, because of all He's done for us. Think about who He is. He's God's only begotten Son. He's our Redeemer. He's the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. He's the propitiation for our sins. He's the atonement. He's the sacrifice. Think about what He said. His Word is so clear. I love the Word of God. He gives us the clear teaching on heaven and hell and the way of salvation. He gives us His promises. He gives us His words of love. Have you thought about what He's done for you? He saved you. Paid for you. But how about what He's doing? You know, it's not a done deal yet. Salvation is just a beginning. Way back when in the dark ages when I first got saved, they used to sing that little song, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. They used to have buttons. I'm not perfect, I'm just forgiven. God's not done with me yet, He's still working on me. All those are true. He's still working on us. We're a work in progress. And some of us still have a lot of work to be done. Amen? We've not arrived. And listen, until they shovel dirt on us, He's still working on us. He's conforming us to the image of His dear Son. Some of it's unpleasant. Some of the things we have to go through so that He can conform us to the image of His Son. We're the clay, you know, the clay is on the potter's wheel and the potter's molding and shaping. You ever see how they do that? And that clay will... Now, if that clay had feelings, can you imagine how it would sound? Well, see, we're supposed to be like the clay. And a lot of that molding and shaping isn't pleasant. But it's necessary. Because God's the potter and He's shaping us into something. He's got something in His mind. You know how that potter sits down? I'm amazed at people who have artistic ability. They take a canvas and they paint a painting. They'll take a piece of clay and they'll make something. See, I realize this. I've learned this. The reason they can do that is because they already see it in their mind. Did you get that? They already see the finished product in their mind. The sculptor who takes that big chunk of stone and he starts chipping away, how does he know what he's doing? He's got it in here. He's conforming that piece of stone into what he wants it to be. I can't do that. That artistic gene went right by me. I have trouble drawing a bath. You know what I mean? I just don't. Music, art. But I'll tell you what I can do. You give me a bunch of 2x4s and some plywood and some nails and all that kind of stuff, I can build. I can build without a design. I've done it. You know why? I see it in my head. I already see what I'm going to build. And I just start doing what I need to do to make what I'm building. What am I getting at? God already sees us the way He's forming us and shaping us. But He's going through the process of bringing us to that point. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And you know what I ought to be? Conform to His Son. There's a joy in the Lord. A joy in knowing that He's busy in my life. There's a joy in knowing He's in control. And He never makes a mistake. All those cliches, I love them. God's pencil don't have an eraser. Noah owes with God. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? On and on we could go. I love it. Because it keeps me focused on the fact He's in control. He's on the throne. And He's not going to get off. And this world, though it's in Satan's hands for a little while, he's still in control. Satan can only do what God lets him do. Because he's the sovereign. I pick up the paper and my first reaction is, oh, look at it. Look what a mess we're in. And I'm reminded, yeah, but he's still in control. I look at the financial situation in America. If I don't look at it through spiritual eyes, boy, we're in a mess. But he's still in control. And so I find joy in that. The unsaved can't do that. They're walking around kicking their lower lips. They're worried. They're fretting. They're everything. But we can have joy. Because ultimately, worst thing could happen to us is we die. That's not so bad. Because we're going to heaven. We'll just maybe get there a little sooner. And what a wonderful place that's going to be. So we have a joy. I told you about that one day I was in Home Depot. Did I say that? Preacher. I was in there a couple of years ago and I was picking up some stuff and I got to the checkout. And I was kind of smiling and things, and a lady said, well, you seem pretty happy. I said, well, no. She said, how you doing? That's what it was. How you doing? I said, better than I deserve. She looked at me funny. I said, I'm doing real good. She said, oh, I'm glad to hear that. And I said, you know, she said something about why are you doing so well or something like that. And I said this. I said, you know, here's why. Worst thing happened to me today is I died. And I said, you know, that's not so bad. Because I know where I'm going when I die. And I'm going to a much better place than I am here. See, that's the joy we have in Him. Joy of the Lord. Jesus wants us to have the joy of the Lord. It's not always about happiness. But he wants us to have that joy. And these are some things that will help you to have the joy of the Lord. Father, we see from your word you want us to have the joy of the Lord. There are many in this room who, for one reason or another, have lost their joy. That river of joy that should be running is just a trickle. It's not near what it ought to be. Tonight I pray that they'll get their joy back. I pray they'll find out where they lost their joy. That in some of these things we've mentioned, they'd see why their joy is so shallow, so weak. It's not what Jesus said. He said he wants our joy to be full, strong. Help us tonight. Help us to have the joy of the Lord that you want us to have. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Bow your heads and close your eyes.